My name is Rusty Music. I'm the executive director of Church Service Center, as most of you know. And we used to have this really long mission statement. I could never memorize it. Most of everybody couldn't memorize it. And you'd get winded if you tried to say it all in one breath. So we wanted to shorten it. And we wanted to make it really simple for everybody to remember. And it's real simple. We're there to empower people and inspire change, which the acronym for that is EPIC, which is EPIC. We're there to be EPIC. We're there to empower people and inspire change in their lives. So the importance of today's message, which is a story of Zacchaeus, which, you know, a lot of you probably are like, you know, we heard this as a kid a billion times. We even used to sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We should have probably sang that this morning. But now y'all are going to be singing that the rest of the time in your heads. And you're probably going to go to bed singing it tonight because that song gets stuck in your head and you never forget it. And we all know that song and love it. But the story of Zacchaeus was really instrumental and really important in what I wanted to share with you all today. Because when Jesus was coming into Luke, and also this is the first Sunday of Advent, right? We lit the candle of hope this morning in the first Sunday of Advent. And so I wanted to share about Zacchaeus because the season of Advent is all about searching for Jesus and looking for signs of Christ and the death, burial, resurrection. You know, that's more at Easter. And this was the coming of Christ, the birth. And then again, we later on in the Advent season, you'll talk about Christ's second coming, okay? So right now, you know, the story, the candle of hope, the first coming of Christ, and then we're actually going to, we read about a person who experienced the walk of Christ, the life of Christ, and this was a tax collector. This was a chief tax collector, so not just any normal person. This was a person who broke many, many laws. This was a person who stole from a lot of people, who just done a lot of people wrong, and ultimately he stole from the people of Jesus. And Jesus's power and draw to many as he came into towns was so strong. This man, Zacchaeus, started to look for him, felt that draw, felt that pull, you know, and you all may remember growing up, coming to church with your grandparents or your mom and your dad, and you started to feel that pull of Christ as you grew up and tried to figure out, well, what does God want me to do? What is that pull? And Zacchaeus felt that pull. Well, he was little. Little like my father-in-law. So Jenny's father is Lloyd Harris. A lot of you know Lloyd. And he's tiny. A lot of you know Herman. We've heard Herman. Herman's my uncle. We all know how tiny he is. So imagine one of them two is trying to look over a crowd of people for Jesus. And this was Zacchaeus. He couldn't see through the crowd. He couldn't see over people's heads. So he had to climb a tree. I don't think Lloyd would climb a tree today. Do y'all? I don't think Herman would climb a tree today. But the pull was so strong, Zacchaeus wanted to see, who is this Jesus that everybody's talking about? Who is he? What does he mean? What is he about? Who is he? So he climbed a tree, sycamore tree, fig tree, and he was looking for him. And Jesus happened to see him, probably, I imagine, as he's walking through and looks out the corner of his eye and sees this man in a tree. And he actually, you know, at that time he knew who he was, and he called him out of the tree, as most of you know, and he went to his house and he dined with him. You know, the Bible doesn't say how long he actually stayed, but when you in biblical times, when you went to somebody's house and you dined with them, you didn't just go for 5 minutes and have a cup of coffee, visit, pray, and leave. You spent a significant amount of time with them. And the importance of this is this was not just a minor event in Zacchaeus' life. This was life-changing in Zacchaeus' life. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus was, again, a thief. And Zacchaeus, Jesus told him at the end of their time together, Jesus said, now you are saved, and your household is saved. And Zacchaeus, through that time, he had the change of heart. He gave back everything 4 times back to the people that he stole from, and he gave double back to the poor. So, and those were from, that was from his possessions. And the Bible, it was strategic. Zacchaeus specifically chose the poor for a specific reason. The Bible talks about the poor and mentions the poor close to 2,000 times. That's a lot. For the Bible to really talk about the poor and what we're supposed to do for the poor and how we're supposed to love and care for the poor and those in need. Mentions the poor 2,000 times in the Bible. And so I think that if something's mentioned that many times, we're supposed to dedicate our lives, or at least a portion of our lives, to assisting those people, to assisting those in need and helping those in need. So Bartow, back in 1966, thought, a lot of, three pastors mainly, and then other churches bought in pretty quickly. But the pastor at First Baptist Church, First Presbyterian Church, and First United Methodist Church got together and founded the organization now named Church Service Center. And we've been serving the community since 1966 through various needs. First, we started out as a information and referral organization. We were chartered by the governor at the time. And so we actually still have that charter. We did not lose the original charter in the fire. Most of you know that we suffered a fire back in 2009. And then back in September of this year, we suffered a major flood. So an organization that's serving the Lord, doing the Lord's work, we have experienced two major weather anomalies, two major experiences that the Bible even talks about. I don't want locusts, okay? I don't like bugs. So we've had the fire, we've had the flood. That's all we need to go through as an organization. But we didn't lose the charter then. We still have a copy of that original charter. And I think that night when we went in, so we had a roofer that we hired to put a new roof on. It's a 9,000 square foot building. And instead of doing the roof in sections, he said, I have a big enough crew. We're gonna come in, we're gonna take the whole roof off, and we'll have it dried in all in one day. We won't have anything to worry about. We trusted the roofer. We knew him really well, everybody. We trusted him, and we thought he was gonna be able to do what he said he was going to do. And I left for the day about 5 o'clock. They were still up there working, and it was September 19th. We received one of the worst torrential rainstorms that we had during any of the rainy seasons prior to the hurricane. So this was a week and a half, almost 2 weeks prior to the hurricane. And that rainstorm was torrential. I mean, it was out in the roads were probably about 8 inches deep of water. The manholes were bubbling up with water, just water everywhere when we got there. And Lloyd, as y'all know, the historian of Bartow, ran into the building, and we're trying to cover computers and all the electronics, and he didn't care about those. He ran straight to our history section and grabbed all of our history. So I thank him for that now, but at the time that wasn't on my mind. So we were able to save a lot of our original documents through that as well. And so the the roofer made a, you know, tragic mistake through not actually drying in the roof. And there were areas where I was running up and down the hallways trying to get bags and things to cover up electronics to where it was 4 or 5 inches deep in our hallways, ankle deep in area. So a lot of water came into our building. And so right now we're navigating insurance. Simcoe Construction is going to do all the reconstruction for the building for us. And we got it all cleaned out, dried out, and we're going to start reconstruction. And the majority of that's probably going to start in January because a lot of people are going on Christmas vacation and things. So, you know, wanted to just kind of update you all on where we're at in that process. And our thrift store is reopened right now just through the holidays. It will close for a short period of time for reconstruction and reopen. And not sure what any of that time frame is going to look like until probably after January. We are still serving. We actually served that same, you know, that happened on the night of the 19th. My staff came in at about between 7:30 and 8 o'clock the next morning, the 20th, and they all looked at me and said, well, what do we need to do to help? What do we need to do to serve? So we still made lunches. As you all know, some of you may know, we have a daily lunch program where we serve meals every single day to our target demographic is our homeless population. So we serve our homeless population every single day, and we started making meals for them. And we've continued to serve every single day after that. We have not closed. We never closed services. We moved our offices to First Presbyterian Church directly across the street, and we are serving clients out of there. And one of the big things that we're doing right now that McLeod Presbyterian is instrumental in, and Gertie has always spearheaded this, at least as long as I know, for the 10 years or so that I've been there, and I believe prior to that, is our Christmas program. So we're taking Christmas applications for families, and actually McLeod Presbyterian, for as small as a church that you all are, I am blown away every year at the generosity and just sheer love that you have for the community and the amount that you all give back, because we probably serve about 400 kids through the holiday season, and y'all adopt a little over 100 of them every single year, 100 kids. That is about 1/4 of who we serve, of the kids. Just this church alone serves and gets toys, provides food, gift cards, meals, everything to those families. And that's a huge accomplishment. That is a huge effort. Much larger churches, they don't have the heart like you all do, as far as serving and meeting the needs in that manner. So I thank you for that. I thank you for your love for the kids during the holiday season. And I wish Miss Gertie was here today. We really miss her, because I know she truly does that from the heart, and she looks forward to it every year. She actually comes and sees me in about September and says, have y'all started taking applications yet? Which then prompts me to get that process going. She stays on top of it better than I do, and she really keeps me on my toes. So just want to let y'all know that y'all are actually one of the largest serving churches during the holiday season that we have, and we are extremely grateful for that. And so we do various other programs. We are now entering into... probably about 5 years ago, we entered into the medical arena. So we've always basically done the basic services, the hierarchy of needs, you know, Maslow's theory, food, clothing, shelter, psychology 101 kind of thing. So we've always done the basic need services, food, clothing, shelter. Now we're starting to enter into more long-term services for our families and figuring out ways to how to keep them out of poverty. And some of them things that we're doing is we do financial education. So we meet with our families. We help them with their crisis needs at the time. We'll give them food. We'll pay a light bill. We'll pay rent or something for them for a month or so. And we have all kinds of various funding opportunities for that. We actually do get a federal grant every year that we get about $40,000 a year from the federal government just to cover people's rent and utilities. They have to go through a rigorous application process. It's not just free money that we hand out. We have to prove that they have a job, that they're working, that they're going to continue to be able to sustain where they're living. And we also then figure we put them through the application process. Our case managers meet with them, and then we will pay that bill, and then we put them in a financial education program. And it's about an 8 week, 6 to 8 week program where they learn everything from basic budgeting. And in our classes, we talk about the B word a lot. And the B word is budgeting, by the way. It's not the actual B word. And a lot of our families, it's interesting because on our basic application, we hand them a budget. And it has name, cell phone. It has all the listed categories, cell phone, all that stuff. Well, when they start to fill it out and they get to cell phone, and instead of writing in the amount of what they pay for their phone bill, they write their number, their phone number, and just various different things. And we have found that most of our families, about 80% of our families that we're serving right now, do not even know how to fill out a basic budget. So they do not monitor their income coming in or their income going out. I'm terrible at that too, by the way. So every time we teach that class, and we were instrumental, and I've actually taught that class. We're certified by the FDIC to teach financial education. We use a lot of their curriculum. So we pull in banks and all kinds of different things to really help facilitate that process. And we're hoping that we can educate the families and teach them more long-term, sustainable goals and help them reach those, help them reach long-term goals. We want them to be able to save to buy a home. We want them to be able to save to start a small business. We want them to be able to save and start building their credit score. So through all those efforts, me and another staff member of mine, we actually went out and got nationally certified as credit counselors. We actually go out every year and get certified to do free taxes for the community. So for our families can save money. We do about 300 tax returns a year for free for anybody in the community. And this is anybody. Y'all could actually come get your taxes done. You don't have to go to H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt or any of those other big name places. Come right down to the church service center, make an appointment. We'll do your taxes for free. Doesn't cost you anything. And we do that in hopes that we can maximize all of our families' incomes and we can help them see, that, hey, you don't have to spend, the average family with kids spends anywhere from $500 to $800 on their tax return every single year. 25% of our families that we're serving, 25% of their annual income, they get back in their tax return. That's huge. That's a big portion of their annual income. And we want to be able to sit down with them and say, hey, you're getting $8,000 back. What's your plans with that money? And we help them plan it out. Well, we don't do it in the tax meeting. I don't want y'all to sit there and think we're going to come and get your taxes done, and we're going to ask you, hey, what are you going to do with your $200 tax return? We don't do that. We actually invite them back for financial education, and we put them through the classes. So some of the other stuff that we're starting to really get involved in, too, where we found that is really constricting a lot of our families' income and really constricting a lot of our families' time and taking away from their progress to work and be successful is medical stuff. So we've actually started, we have a free pregnancy clinic. We have free mental health counseling, and we have free basic primary care as well. So we've grown into the medical arena as well. And so The pregnancy health clinic is through Options for Women, and that's for uninsured moms who do not have insurance and they need pregnancy confirmation. And we do free ultrasounds, all that stuff. And we actually have a doctor on staff that will see them and see them through their entire pregnancy. And the idea is to save babies. The mental health counseling is just what it is. It's for people to be able to come in, sit down with a state-licensed Christian counselor. All of our counselors are Christians. They believe in God. They love Jesus. They love God. And we want to make sure of that. That's one of our biggest criteria is that they are a Christian. And they implement Christian counseling. And we have now partnered with BayCare. So we just entered our third grant cycle with BayCare, and we get about $70,000 a year from BayCare to offer primary care in partnership with Lakeland Volunteers in Medicine. So they have started to come and offer free primary care to our uninsured families and individuals that are working. That because we still have about 30% of our population are working and are uninsured. They don't have insurance at all. And so as long as they're working, we can provide free primary care to them for a period of time and then work on trying to get them into stable insurance through the marketplace or low-income insurance. So a lot of opportunities that we're trying to reach out and serve and meet the needs of our families, our poor families in the Bartow community. So if it wasn't for the support like from McLeod and various other churches, we wouldn't be able to do that. So the reason why I wanted to bring Zacchaeus into this today is to really show that the services that we offer, people come to us and they're looking for help. Zacchaeus was looking for help that day. A lot of our families are looking for a handout. And that's what we do. We don't provide a handout. We really want to lift them up out of their crisis, out of their situations, out of their lifestyles, and be that life-changing event in their life to let them know that love changes everything. Love, you know, the love of Jesus to Zacchaeus changed his life. And I promise we'll be out of here by 12:30 or 1, okay? You know, I won't be too much longer. I don't even know what time it is. So, but love changes everything. And I'm a firm believer that people return to the last place they feel loved. That's why people come to churches. You'll have people occasionally just walk in the door. You don't know who they are. You don't know where they've been. But you show the love of Christ to them, they'll return. That's why they came the first time, because they knew that they've been to church. They remembered going to a church as a child. They remember going to church with their grandmother at some point. They're down on their luck. They've experienced a hard time. They don't know how life is going to be moving forward. So they come and they try to look for that love. They try to look for that place that's going to help lift them up and love them. And that's why, you know, people just kind of walk in our back doors. They're doing that for Church Service Center as well. They come in, and I tell my staff, if we can do anything, and if we get anything else wrong in our process of what we do, if we forget to collect a document, a Social Security card, or a birth certificate, or whatever, if we forget any of that, I don't care. We can get all that later on. The most important thing I want you to get right initially is show the individuals and our people, our neighbors in the community, that we love them so that they can come back and that they'll be comfortable in coming back. Now, do we get that right every time? No. We're human. We fail. We make mistakes. We upset people. We have to say no. People get mad at us. It happens all the time, but that's a part of the process. That's a part of human nature. But we want them to know that love is life-changing, and love in the story of Zacchaeus was life-changing. And the name Zacchaeus actually means pure. How interesting is that? that one of the biggest thieves in the Bible, his name actually meant pure. And you know, the neat thing in that is he became pure, he became a follower of Christ at the end of his life, and he continued and gave back to those in need. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. That's what we're called to do for our community and as a church. And you all do it so graciously. You all do it so lovingly every single year. And we really greatly appreciate that. I know Church Service Center loves you all. And our clients every year, because y'all actually do it right out of your fellowship, Paul. A lot of other people just bring their stuff to us, drop it off. We have to call them, get them back there, and they come and pick it up. You all set it up so much differently, and you all actually invite them to your church, meet with the families, love on the families, and give them their items, give the kids their toys. I guess maybe the parents, you probably don't give them to the kids. And give the families their food and let them know that there is somebody in this community that loves them other than Church Service Center or their parents or anything like that, that there's a church out there that loves them. And that impact in their lives means a lot, because we get calls after it and throughout the new year and say, you know, that church that adopted us, we had a great time with them. We are really thankful for those churches. We have so many testimonials from families that received their items from a cloud that was just they're forever grateful for the impact, and that you've taken time and wanted to love and share with families that you don't even know. When Gertie comes in and asks for the names and lets us know how many kids she wants, and we flip through the applications, there's times where Gertie will look at me, she makes a face, and she's like, "Rusty, how do I say this name?" And I don't know how to say it either. So we don't even know how to pronounce some of their names. We don't even know who they are. But you treat them like you do. You treat them like you love them, and we are forever thankful for that. That's the most important thing is, love of Christ changes everything, and the love of Christ changed Zacchaeus forever that day, and the love that you all share is changing and impacting our community for the greater good and for the greater Bartow community. So thank you all so much, and I'm actually going to wrap up now, and I don't know if I'm supposed to do anything, or do I just close? You'll take care of the rest. Thank you.